took the punishment we deserved. And it was a somber service in some ways. But it ended kind of on a high note. Chad surprised us and played a little clip of a well-known historic sermon. And I'm not going to try to repeat it today. But the line that he left with us was, "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." The death took place on Friday and everything looked like it was lost, but Sunday's coming. We know the rest of the story. And so guess what? It's Sunday. We're here. It's Sunday. The resurrection happened 3 days later, and we're here to celebrate that today. And the resurrection of all things, it is the demonstration of the Father's love. That's what I want you to know most of all today. If you're here and you're not sure who God is or what this is all about and what Christianity is all about and what this religion's all about, the one thing that I guess I want you to know above everything else and what we are celebrating today is the Father loves you. And that love is real. Now, I want to take a little time to share with you a little bit of my story today. And I don't think I've even shared this part with even our congregation as a whole. But here's the deal. For me, the word Father and the word love were not two words that went together most of my growing up life. And so I've wrestled with this concept and this teaching that the Father loves me. You see, my earliest memory in this life is when I was about 6 years old, watching my father walk out the door with a suitcase in his hand and my mom bawling and pleading with him not to go. And he left the family, mom and three kids, and he was gone. And over my growing up years, my experience with my earthly father was maybe a visit, maybe once or twice a year for a weekend. There was a space in there at one point where it wasn't even that. And for me, later, when I was a little bit older, my mom told me that when he first left, that I was inconsolable. That I cried myself to sleep kind of in sweat and tears for about a year. I have no memory of that. I guess God's blessing, I blocked that out of my brain. But the idea of a father's love was foreign to me. I wasn't loved by my father. I felt like I was abandoned by my earthly father. And a few years later, I call it the year of Jack. My mom remarried when I was about 10. And there was this guy that lived at our house for about a year. And looking back again, I actually have no memory of Jack ever speaking to me. He lived at our house. He was my stepdad. And then about a year after he moved in, he moved out. And I learned a little bit later that when he moved out, he took the little bit of money that my mom made as a teller at the bank, and he took it all and he left. Again, I did not feel the love of a father. I felt abandoned. Well, a short time after that, I was into sports when I was a kid, and I was playing what we called in our little town peewee football. I don't know what they call it around here, youth football. And I showed up at practice as a fourth grader, and I was pretty athletic, and so the coaches were kind of, you know, hey, we got a kid that can, you know, is fairly coordinated here, and good deal. Well, my first coach that I ever had was a guy named, his nickname was Hurricane. Now that ought to tell you something right there. And my earliest memory and practice was him screaming and yelling at me that if I didn't get my act together, he was going to stick his foot this far. Well, I'm just going to stop there. And he did things you couldn't get away with today, I'm guessing. Maybe you can, I don't know. But what happened was Hurricane actually became a dear person in my life. And he kind of became my adopted dad after Jack left. And he was a single man, and he had lots of time, and he spent a lot of time with me. And he owned a gas station in the little town that I grew up in, the Kerr McGee. Anybody remember Kerr McGee gas station? He owned the Kerr McGee. And he let me come up there, and I practically lived up at the gas station. He let me pump gas, and he took me on a fishing trip once. I'd never been on a vacation. I still don't know how to fish, but, you know, he took me on a fishing trip, and he really built into my life. And then, inexplicably, he was killed in a fishing boat accident. He fell out of the boat, and his feet got tangled up in the anchor rope, and he drowned. And he was gone. And I remember, and here's why I'm telling you these stories. Because I wrestled with the idea that my Heavenly Father loved me. I always believed in God. I didn't doubt that God was there. But this idea that God loves me, my concept was no, fathers abandon. That's what they do. They don't stick around. They're gone. And with that became another question, because I started to get a little bit older and I started to ask this question. If God is so good, and that's what I kept hearing, God is good and all this, why is there so much bad in the world? I started to notice it wasn't just me. And I'm telling you, and maybe you're here and you're one of these, and this counts whether you're a Christian and you tell everybody you're a Christian, or whether you're not sure where you stand on all of that. This is a question that lingers in a lot of our hearts. If God is so good, why is there so much evil in the world? Why is this such a broken place? I remember back in that era of my life after Hurricane died and a couple other bad things happened, I remember making a vow in my heart. I don't know if you've ever done that, but I made a vow in my heart. I'm never going to let anybody hurt me again. And I just kind of closed off my heart. How could a loving God allow so much pain? We know about that. You all could stand up here, and this is what I've learned, especially as a pastor and I counsel people. Everybody's got their story, right? Everybody's got stories of pain. And I realize even as I share a little bit of mine, there's some of you sitting here that experienced a lot worse than I did. You experienced maybe abuse or something even worse. And you, all you got to do, I mean, this is no shocker. All you got to do is turn on the news, right? And we here locally, we've had our right in our face issues of brokenness and evil. We're still reeling from the death of these two little girls in Delphi. They haven't found the killer. And just last weekend, Dylan and Chaz, two boys from North White High School, were killed in an auto accident just 1 week ago. Also 1 week ago, two churches in Egypt were bombed by suicide bombers as they gathered for Palm Sunday by ISIS, and 45 people were killed and over 120 or 130 others injured. And you have to wrestle with the question, why God? Where is God? Now I want to get your brain thinking just a little bit here, okay? As I deal with this topic, broken world, good God, how does that fit together? Did you know that every worldview, everybody has a worldview, right? You have a way that you think about the world, the way that you think it's put together. And every worldview recognizes the same thing, that we live in a broken world. Doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, an atheist, a Christian, every worldview, everybody looks at the world and acknowledges it's deeply broken. Many then look at the question of, well, where does God fit in? We have to wrestle with the question, where does God fit in that? And some people conclude, well, God doesn't fit in. They cannot reconcile. How can God be there and be good and be powerful if all of this evil is happening? But think about this for a minute. If you take God out of the equation, it doesn't fix anything. If you take God out of the equation, the world is still broken. It's not any less broken. And so the atheist and the person that denies God has to come up with their answer of, well, why is the world so broken? And the answer then has to be, well, because we live in a purposeless, non-moral universe. And it's just survival of the fittest, man. And you just better hope against hope that you know, luck falls your way and you don't experience the worst of it. And then you die and then you're gone. And that's it. The Christian worldview, what we believe, has an answer to all of this. Now you have to wrestle with that answer and you have to figure out if you can embrace this answer. But the Christian worldview has an explanation for evil and for brokenness. In the world, we do. We have an understanding of why that exists. And the answer is that humanity rebelled against God. Humanity made a choice of the will and said, God, I don't want the world to be about you and about following you and about worshiping you. We want the world to be about us. And so we rebelled against God. And as soon as we made it about us, then the cycle started where instead of loving one another, we started killing one another. And murder entered into the scene. And we started using each other. And all kinds of brokenness and fallenness. You know, that is why it is the way it is. And so every worldview then has to answer the question, well, what can be done to solve the problem? If brokenness and evil is the problem, how does it ever get solved? And think about what the other different worldviews, what does an atheist worldview have to say to that? There is no answer. But what we've been singing about this morning in these worship songs and what we've been worshiping and celebrating is that God has done something about it. In fact, it's Him that we've rebelled against. And right in the middle of that sin and that rebellion, God said, now I am going to show the full extent of my love. And He sent His Son to come on a rescue mission. And Christ came, His Son came from heaven to earth, the Bible tells us, and He lived a sinless, loving, perfect life. And then the Father allowed Him to go to the cross on our behalf. You see, because God isn't just loving, He's also holy and He's righteous. And that means that our sin can't just be kind of, God can't just kind of wink and nod at it. He can't just overlook it. It has to be dealt with. It has to be judged. It has to be punished. And so Christ went to the cross. Those words that we were just singing before I stood up here, Christ took our sin upon Himself and died in our place to take the punishment that we deserve. God was showing His love for us. And God addressed the problem of sin and evil by dying for it. Dying for us. So I got to kind of ask just a couple of questions as I kind of move towards the end this morning. I believe that we have an understanding, you know, that Adam and Eve, you remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Before sin entered into the world, they had a perfect loving relationship with God. And the Bible says they took walks with God in the cool of the day and all this, had a perfect relationship. Here's what I believe. I believe that we understand more about God's love than Adam and Eve did. You know why? Because we know how far God will go to show His love for us. Adam and Eve did not know that. We know that even when we rebelled against God and we said, God, we don't want to follow you. We don't want you. God still came and showed His love for us even then. We know the love of God. So what's happening now? That was 2,000 years ago. Christ is risen from the dead. But what's happening now? I had a couple other men. I want to tell you a little bit more about my story. God brought a couple other men in my life a little bit later, after all that bad stuff happened. God brought a guy named Ted in my life. Ted was a guy that lived down the street from my foster parents. I was in a foster family at that time. And there was a guy that lived down the street, and he was my Sunday school teacher at the church. And he was just a kind of a simple guy, kind of a shy guy. But he began to model for me the love of Jesus and the love of the Father. And he began to tell me the truth about what Christ had done on the cross for me. And about what we're celebrating today, the death and resurrection of Christ. And you know what happened? I embraced Christ. And I found out that what he was telling me was true. And I embraced Jesus. And now I live my life under the loving hand of my Father. And you can too. That's what I want to tell you this morning. You can too. Some people ask, well, if Jesus is going to put an end to all of this sin and suffering when he comes back. That's kind of what we believe. We believe, yeah, we still struggle with it now, but one day he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take all the sin away. It's not even going to be around anymore. Why doesn't he just come and do it? Why don't you just come and put an end to all the brokenness in the world? Why don't you do it? Did you know the Bible gives an answer? Because God loves you so much. And he is not willing, he does not want any person to die without knowing his love. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. He wants to give every opportunity for every person possible to put their faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. That's the only thing that's keeping Jesus from coming back right now. And we don't know how long. Jesus doesn't say how long he's going to wait. But he wants every person to accept what Christ has done for them on the cross. And that's what we're here to talk about today. So as I close this morning, I guess I just want to say, if you're a person and you know you've trusted in Christ, then I want to say, praise the Lord. Celebrate the resurrection today and every day. And if you aren't sure where you stand with God, or maybe you, like me, resisted the Father's love for a long time because I kind of had all this other stuff going on, maybe today's the day where you open your heart and you receive the gift that God wants to give you, the gift of eternal life, by putting your faith in what Christ did on the cross. That is why we celebrate today. And that's all I got. Will you pray with me? Father, I hope I've been able to, just in some small way, communicate the wonder of your love, that even though we do live in a broken world, and I just wanted to help people touch base with reality today. Everybody's got hard things that they are dealing with, that they have dealt with, that they will deal with. Life is broken in so many ways, and it's hard. And Christianity doesn't mean that you come in and right in that moment remove all the hard stuff. I'm still facing hard things, Lord. You know that. But the truth of the gospel, the truth of all reality, is that we have a heavenly Father that loves us so much. And even though we created the chaos, so to speak, in our sinfulness, you came to the rescue. You came and sent your Son to show the full extent of your love by dying on the cross for us. And then you raised him up. And Lord, we celebrate that today. You raised him to new life. And the whole reason you did it wasn't just to do it. It was to save us. It was, Lord, so that every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl would turn and put their faith in Christ and be saved and be born again. And Lord, when we do that, I can speak firsthand that I know what happens. You come and you forgive us for all of that sin and all of that wickedness and all of that brokenness, Lord, and you make us your children, and you become our Father, and you love on us, and Lord, you begin to grow us up, and Lord, it is wonderful, and it is what we were created for. And so my prayer today is that for all of us, that we would embrace Christ. For some of us, that's something we did a long time ago, and today we're just still celebrating and growing. And maybe, Lord, today in this room, there are some that really have never made that decision to put their faith in what Christ did for them on the cross. And today, what a day to do it, the day we celebrate the resurrection, to embrace the Father's love. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody here that has never done that, that they would just turn to you in faith this morning. And all of us together celebrate your love. Lord, I'm so thankful that you rescued me and you showed me that your love is different and your love is final and your love is real. I love you, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.